Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to see it, our minds to understand it, our wills to accept it, and our hearts to believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Going through Romans. It's so much in there. Let's go back and set the context again, because we pull it out. We've got everything nicely divided up into chapters and verses. Sometimes we kind of miss the flow of where it's coming from. So let's review chapter 12 just a little. Chapter 12 started off with Paul beseeching us, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable under God, unto God, which is your reasonable service. So our duty is to give ourselves unto God. And then he urges us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So chapter 12 started off with how do we relate to other believers. Okay, our first duty is we need to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God. In other words, we do what God wants instead of what we want. Okay, so our first duty is unto God. Then to other believers, it says that we all have gifts from God, and those are to be used in order to serve other believers, to build up the body and so forth. And then at the end of the chapter, he's talking about how we deal with those outside the church. I assume so, because it's talking about how to deal with evil. It says, do not return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, so that's the context. other believers, we need to use the grace, the spiritual gifts that are given to us to serve others in whatever way God empowers us. To outside the church, we need to overcome evil with good. If your enemy be hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. We need to serve those outside to demonstrate the love of God. Now, Paul in chapter 13 is going to talk about how do we relate to the government. Oh, that's a fun one, isn't it? We all have our complaints about the government, right? Anybody happy when you got your last tax statement?
No.
Okay. No, we don't like that, do we? We disagree. They raise the valuation of our land. We pay more. The school district wants to do a bond. They raise our rate. The city passes, you know, higher trash rates, this and that. The IRS comes around and we got taxes to pay on April 15th. And it just seems like forever we're doing this. And then they're doing all these things with it that we consider wasteful and we could do a better job and this and that. So how do we relate to a government that we don't always agree with? Paul says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Who are the higher powers? City hall, county commissioners, governor, state legislature, the president, the Congress, all the laws of the land. Unfortunately, though, most of the laws of our land aren't even passed by Congress. They're done by regulatory agencies and so forth. But all those things, Paul says we need to be subject to those higher authorities. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Woo! That's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? Especially when you don't like the powers that are above you. Okay? Well, let me give a non-contemporary example. So, you know, I won't be talking about our current administration. Let me talk back. I remember when Jimmy Carter was elected president, okay? Okay, that was right after Nixon and all the scandals, and so people were ready for something different. So they elect Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter was a very different president. Okay, and then we had, after Carter, we had Reagan. Well, I personally liked Reagan a lot better. I mean, even just as a person, Carter, I felt like, was not very presidential. You know, he walked up, you know, here they've got the big podium up, says the President of the United States, and like, and he walks up and goes, "Hi, y'all." You know, I felt like we had Jim Neighbors for president, you know? Okay. But then Reagan, I shouldn't be so disrespectful. But then Reagan was there, and Reagan had a bearing, and he came up. It was very, of course, he was an actor. But, you know, but still, the respect is not to the person. The respect is to the office. Both of them were the President of the United States and due our loyalty and respect because of that, okay? Doesn't mean we have to agree with everything they stand for, but so it says that any government authority has been ordained by God. Okay, that's a big word. What does ordained mean? It basically just says set in order. Okay, there's a hierarchy, right? Works its way up. I mean, we've got a court system. You got your justice of the peace, and then you've got the county courts, and the city courts, and the county courts, and then you've got the district courts and the federal courts, and all this kind of stuff. There's an order to that, right? A hierarchy. Well, God has set that hierarchy in place. And you think, wow, look at some of these people, and you think they're ordained by God. Well, yeah. You may not agree with our current president or our last president, but God put them in that position. Well, so how can Paul say such a thing? He didn't know how bad it was going to be. You know who was in control when Paul wrote this? Nero. Nero was a nutcase. Nero used to put on old clothes and go out at night and mug people. Okay? He was weird. Nero's the one that burned Christians on, you know, lit them up for torches to light his parties, okay? And what did Paul say? God hath ordained the higher powers. So even so, the only thing that helps me, it helps me resign because the Bible says it, but when you realize how bad anarchy is, okay, there are bad governments. Okay, they're all bad to some degree, and some are worse than others. But how can you say that's ordained by God? Well, when you compare it to no government at all, it's really bad, isn't it? If you've ever been in a city, there's people that run and say, we just want anarchy. We want liberty and total freedom and all. If there was no authority structure at all, it would be bad. It would be very bad. Okay? So God says that he has put those authorities in place for our good. So we're supposed to respect them. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, the government authority, resisteth the ordinance of God. God has set it up that he puts nations in place. He sets their boundaries, their times, all that. He that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay? He's not saying eternal damnation. He's talking about punishment, condemnation. If you buck the government, you pay the consequences, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, there are people who claim that the federal income tax is unconstitutional and therefore they won't pay it. Well, right or wrong, what happens? The T-men show up and take you to jail. Okay? That's just the way it goes. You pay the consequences. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Okay? Now, for the most part, that's true. Now, okay, for the most part, isn't that true? As long as you're following the law and doing right, you don't have to worry about it. Okay? If you're not a speeder, you don't hit the brakes every time you see a black and white car out there on the highway, right? But if you're a speeder, you're real good at hitting those brakes every time you see one, right? Because you know there could be bad consequences to that. It says, no, they don't punish you. I mean, you know, if you're driving the speed limits, you can just wave at him as you drive by, right? Just wave. That'll drive him crazy. You know, you're not worried about it. But if you tend to exceed the speed limit or break the law, you get a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach every time you see one, right? Or when this light start flashing in your rearview mirror, you know, you're like, But if you're buying the law, you're thinking, he must be after somebody else. You're not worried about it. Why? Because they don't punish the good. They punish the evildoers. That's what they're there for. And it's a good thing. We may not like the speed limits, but aren't we glad it's not a free-for-all out there on the highway? Aren't we glad? Yeah, sometimes it is anyway. But people that come back from other countries, I've had missionaries come back from Vietnam, from the middle, you know, from Saudi Arabia, various places like that. And I mean, the highways are just a free-for-all. It's just wild and crazy. I've been, I didn't drive because I didn't dare. I took a taxi, but I've been in Singapore. I've been in Malaysia. I mean, it gets pretty wild out there on the highways. I mean, those stripes don't mean anything, okay? They don't live in stripes. If there's two lanes, there'll be five cars across, you know, and then there'll be bicycles and motorcycles in between. I mean, it's just crazy, all kinds of things. Well, these authorities are there for a reason. Okay, it's a good thing. You know, everybody may do 85 out there on Highway 75 heading for Dallas, but if there were no police out there, they'd be doing 105. Okay? So they're put there for a reason, so we should fear the power if we're doing evil. Otherwise, we'll be praised by it. Now, is that always true? Well, no. I mean, I grew up in the Soviet Union era, right? And there were things illegal, like having a Bible was illegal. Okay? Well, what about that? How does that fit in with what Paul says? Well, he doesn't directly address it here. He says just follow the laws. And I think the biblical principle is all man-made governmental laws we should follow except when it conflicts with God's law. Okay? Isn't that what Peter said when he was arrested and beaten for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? He said, who should we obey, you or Jesus Christ? Okay? Obey the one you fear the most. Okay. Well, I fear the government, but I fear God more. Okay. But if it doesn't conflict with God's law, then I don't have any excuse for disobeying man's law, right? Okay. So we need to look at it that way. So if it conflicts, yes, there's times that we have to do things differently, but maybe we need to watch our attitude on other things. We start talking about, be careful when you start talking about rebellion and civil disobedience and all that sort of thing. God has given them the power of the sword, and you will suffer under it. Okay, so unless there's a higher reason to disobey, we should submit ourselves to the authorities God has put over us. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. It's for our good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God puts civil authorities in place for a reason. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, not just because you're going to get a ticket, but also for conscience sake. Okay? So, just as a simple example, we talk about obeying highway laws. Okay? Well, I think the main reason people obey highway laws is because they're afraid they're going to get a ticket. And tickets are expensive. And it's even more expensive when your insurance company finds out about it. Okay? So, that's the main reason. But Paul says there's a bigger reason than that. Even if you could get away with it. Okay? You got your radar detector, whatever. You got your little app on your phone that tells you where the speed traps are, whatever. There's more to obedience to that. We also need to do it for conscience sake. I mean, I used to speed. Okay? I used to exceed the speed limit all. But you know, since I quit, I just got convicted that it was wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. And so I just, as a habit, drive the speed limit or below. And you know, it's really kind of nice because I've got a clear conscience. I'm not always looking for police cars. I'm not worried about what's going to happen. I'm just driving the speed limit, greatly to the irritation of some people behind me. But I have a clear conscience. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. Uh-oh. Now he's done, quit preaching, and gone to meddling. Okay, he said pay your taxes. That's what tribute is, isn't it? Pay your tribute, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. We have to pay to have the policemen out there to give us tickets. We get to pay for that, okay? But it's for our own good. So it's right to pay what we're supposed to pay. Render therefore to all their dues. Whatever it is, pay it. Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So pay all the taxes that are due, pay your fees. But also we need to give respect to those. Okay? You get pulled over by a policeman, be respectful. Be kind, be respectful. He's doing his job. Even if you're not happy with what he's doing, be very respectful. I remember I got a ticket when I was a senior in high school. Okay? It was game day. We had a big game that night. I had a whole bunch of junk that decorated my locker with, and my car was, you know, that shoe polished, you know, my number stuff in my car. And so I was on my way home, and I was going to hurry. I was going to get there, get ready, head back, you know, get ready for the ball game, and I was going too fast. A policeman pulled over, very professional, very polite, had a nice discussion. He noticed the number. He went to the ball games. He knew who I was. He recognized me. He recognized my number. You know, this and that. We talked about the game. He wished me good luck, this and that. Then he handed me a ticket. Okay? He did his job. What can I say? And he said, thank you for being so polite. I mean, I was being nice. I was hoping he wouldn't give me a ticket, but he did anyway. But he thanked me. But isn't that so much better than our disrespectful? You know, now we have probably talked about police shootings and all, but I wonder how many of those are because we're so disrespectful to the officers. If we're threatening and disrespectful and cursing and whatever, have we set up a bad environment that is more likely to turn sour? I think so. If we were polite and respectful, I mean, personally, I have a policy, okay? Don't argue with anybody with a gun. Okay, that's my personal theory on this thing. Don't argue with the man that has a gun, okay? Just do what he tells you to do. And I read that from a policeman one time. He wrote a letter to the editor. He said, when I pull you over, don't argue with me. He said, just do it. He said, if I'm out of line, you can sue me later. Okay, you can take me to court, you can sue me, whatever, but at the time, just do what I ask you to do, okay? So we need, it even says right in biblically, we need to give fear to whom fear is due. Well, a policeman who comes up and has a gun, I would give him fear. Okay, we should. Because he has that for a reason, because sometimes he needs it. And I don't want to be any reason to provoke him to have to pull it out. Okay. But also honor to whom to honor. And that can be difficult. to some people, if we don't respect them, if you don't respect your boss at work, if you don't because of their personal life, or you don't respect the president because of their personal life or whatever, that can be difficult. But because of the role they're in, they're deserving of honor. We can honor the position even if we can't honor the person. Okay, it's right because God has set up that hierarchy for our good. He tells us now, owe no man anything. Isn't that a good feeling when you don't owe anybody anything? You're paid up on everybody, okay? You're not indebted. You're not behind on honoring, giving respect or paying taxes or whatever. You know, if you're behind on your taxes, you kind of live in fear. You're afraid what's going to happen. Come up. But if you paid them honestly and right, then you've got a clear conscience. You're ready to go. I mean, I like the feeling of owing no man anything. It's a real freedom. I even like it after, you know, every week when I've passed out the kids' allowance, I'm caught up. I hate it when I get behind. I think, oh, I got to remember to do this and that. But when it's like, okay, allowance is paid up, it's good. I know, owe no daughter anything. Okay, so it's a good feeling. It says we need to always, except there's one thing we always owe, but love one another. We can never pay that debt, can we? The debt of love that we owe. We owe a debt of love. Because Jesus Christ himself told us to love our neighbor as ourself and to love God. We owe that one. But it says, but if we do, if we're continuing paying that debt of love that we owe, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Do you ever struggle trying to meet the requirements of the law? You almost don't like to read it in the Bible because that's just another thing you're not doing right. It gets you down. Well, guess what? There's an easy way to make sure you're fulfilling the law. If you truly love other people, then you fulfill the law. He explains here, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Does that sound familiar? Okay. I bet every one of you could tell me exactly where that comes from. Because Paul has made a whole lot of allusions to the Old Testament, hasn't he? But this one's pretty obvious. Doesn't that sound like the last half of the Ten Commandments? Okay. It's kind of small, but I listed them there, starting with the Sixth Commandment. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy manservant, nor the maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So, if you truly love your neighbor, you don't have to worry about this whole list of things, thou shalt nots, do you? Because if you love somebody, you only seek their good, right? So you don't have to worry about stealing from somebody that you love, do you? You wouldn't do that, would you? No. You certainly wouldn't kill them. Okay. You wouldn't be covetous of their success. You'd be happy for them because you love them and you want to see them do well. Okay. So Paul takes the last half of the Ten Commandments just to show us that we really don't have to live by the law. Okay, we're free from the law, all that law versus grace, but we are commanded to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you do those two things, you don't have to worry about all the rest of the law because you will be satisfying it. You will be doing exactly what God commands because love worketh no ill. It doesn't do anything bad to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When we love people, it's not the ooey-gooey feeling we get. It's when we do things for their benefit, their overall good. We're fulfilling the law. Then you don't have to worry about, now, what was that list? Let's say I'm not supposed to kill them. Okay, I got that down. I'll remember not to kill them, you know. I won't steal their stuff. I won't lie about them, trying to get them in trouble. I won't covet, desire what they have and be jealous. And it's like, no. If you love them, then you seek their good. and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. What? We're sleeping. What? We need to wake up, pay attention, get with it, get with the program. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You think, wait a minute. Paul was always talking about the soon return of Jesus Christ. Paul died 2,000 years ago. Isn't that a long time? It's like, wait, 2,000 years? Come on. Well, no. What he said is exactly true, isn't it? Think about it. When did you get saved? Isn't Jesus' second coming closer now than it was then? Absolutely. We're closer than we've ever been. Even if it's another 2,000 years, we're still closer than we've ever been. But it might not be another 2,000 years. It might be another 2 minutes, or 2 days, or 2 weeks, or 2 months. I don't know. But one thing we do know is Jesus Christ coming is closer than it has ever been in the history of the entire world. It's closer now. So get ready. Wake up. Get busy. You have less time than you did before. Okay, you've got even less time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Okay, so when it's night, it's dark, seems like it's going to last forever, but then all of a sudden, it starts to get light. The sun's coming. Here it is. So we need to quit doing things that we'd want to hide in the darkness, and it said put on the armor of light. Well, how can light be armor? It's a little lightweight, isn't it, to be much protection? Well, now the light. How much easier is it to be good when everybody can see what you're doing? Okay? Doesn't that remove a lot of temptation? When you're right out in the open, bright daylight, those little bad things you think about doing? No, you want to hide those away in the darkness. Maybe in the darkness of your own mind and your own thoughts. Is that where you hide them, where you think nobody else knows? Ah, but the light of Jesus Christ shines even there. There is no darkness with him. He sees all. So let's cast off the works of darkness and let's put on the protection, the armor of light. Okay, that's why it's good to be accountable, isn't it? That's one of the things that people recommend. If you struggle with various things, like when we talk about people nowadays with the internet, pornography is just so accessible, okay? It's amazingly easy to get into. You know, I mean, they try. They send it to you, they everything else. I've got spam filters and everything else trying to, you know, keep those out where I never even see the things that they say. But, I mean, it's there because the biggest industry on the internet is pornography. Okay, that's half the business of everything in the world on the internet. Half the money goes to pornography. Well, what's a good way to protect yourself from that? Light. Okay, at my house, we don't keep computers off hidden in corners. Okay, we put them out right in the open, right in front of everybody. That way, whatever you're doing, anybody could walk by and see. That is armor. It's light because light is shed upon what you're doing. Anybody can see. Okay. What you're doing. You've got that. I've got monitoring on there so I can look and see every website that we've visited, all that kind of stuff. It's wide open. It's right there to be seen. Every website that's been visited from my house can be seen. It's there. And I remember at one point they had some group where for men that struggled with it, you could partner with somebody else and you could join some system where they could see every website that you went to and things like that so that somebody would know. Not so much that there's somebody there to call you and say, hey, cut that out. It's just because you know that somebody else would know. Light, shining light, is armor. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Okay, we were talking about somebody that caused an accident due to drunk driving. Okay, when does most drunkenness happen? At night. Okay, happens in the dark. There's some club, I don't know if they're still open, but I've driven by it, and the sign on the door, you know, a lot of times says, you know, open since 1961 or whatever. This one says open at night. Okay? Yeah, because that's when you do the kind of things they do. That's when you drink and gamble and whatever else goes on in there. Darkness, under the covenant of darkness, but it says, no, let's be open and honest. Don't spend our life in rioting. When do most riots start? In the dark. In drunkenness, most of that happens in the dark. Not in chambering, that would be immoral activity. Wantonness, not in strife, envying. Okay, that's not how we need to spend our time. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How do we conquer that? Well, we're weak, aren't we? We're weak. We have temptations. We have weaknesses, this and that. We don't conquer evil just by saying, not going to do it, not going to do it, not going to do it. We eventually give in. We have to substitute it with something better. What do? We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're busy singing hymns and reading your Bible and worshiping Jesus Christ, your mind is too full to think about those wrong things. Fill it with the good. Okay? Then he says, make not provision for the flesh. That is, don't leave opportunities for yourself where you know you're weak. Okay? I'll give you an example. And this I heard from some preacher, and I don't remember who it was, so I don't know whether it was true or not. But he talked about a time when he was a boy. And he said when he was a boy, one time his dad left. They lived out in the country, but his dad headed off to go to work. And he said, son, I don't want you to go down to the swimming hole with the boys today. They had some swimming hole where they liked to meet and play in the afternoons and this and that. He said, you stay home. You be here when I get home. I don't want you going down to the swimming hole. So he said, you know, he thought about that, but he just couldn't resist. He gave in. He went down there, and he went to the swimming hole. And so then all of a sudden he looks up, and here's his dad's car driving up. And he's out there in the swimming hole with all the other boys. And he's like, oh, I'm in trouble now. So his dad calls him over, so he goes out and gets in the car with his dad. And he said, I almost had my way talked out of it. I said, well, you know, Dad, he said, I know you told me not to go, and I wasn't going to go. You know, I wasn't going to go, but he said, then I just decided, well, it'd be good to see the boys. I was just going to go down and watch, you know, and talk to them and hang out with them for a little while. And so I was just out, you know, I just came down and I was out and I was visiting with the boys for a while. And then it was hot and this and that. So I wound up, you know, I wound up sitting on the edge of the swimming hole for a while and visiting. The next thing you knew, they started splashing me and, you know, somebody pulled me in. And before I knew it, I was in the middle of it. And he said, I think it almost worked till my dad looked down and realized I was wearing my swimming trunks. Okay. Then it was all out the window. Okay. He had made provision for evil. He went down there intending to swim, didn't he? Put his swimming trunks on. He had every intention. Well, do we do that with evil? Do we give ourselves the opportunity? Do we make sure there's going to be a time that we can do that? Do we leave temptation in front of our faces? Okay. I remember back, when was this? It was back probably when I was in college. Television was a temptation to me in several ways. One, just as a big time waster, okay, because I need to be studying, but I'd notice what happened. I'd come in, I'm tired, you know, after work, I come in, I need to start studying. But, you know, just flip on the TV while I fix me a sandwich and this and that. Then I look down and 2 or 3 hours later, I'm still sitting on the couch in front of the TV. Again, I needed to be studying. It was a temptation. So what did I do? I unplugged the television set. Okay? Why? Well, so that I couldn't just walk in and flip it on and off we go. I had to be intentional about it because I did. I still had that habit. I walked in, flipped the TV on, and then it didn't come on. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I unplugged it. But that was enough because I'd unplugged it for a reason. That was enough to realize. Now, if that hadn't been enough, I needed to get rid of it. It was time to get rid of it. But as long as I left it there, I was making provision for the flesh. I was following my flesh, the desires. I needed to put a barrier between myself. Okay? I've gone blank. What was his name? The guy who led music for the Billy Graham Crusades from Barrett? No, not George Beverly Say, but Cliff Barrett. Barrows, Cliff Barrows. He was the song director, Cliff Barrows. And of course he traveled a lot, okay? He led Billy Graham crusades. He was on the road all the time. And when you're on the road, you're in motel rooms. And when you're in motel rooms, they've got TV sets. And sometimes in motel rooms, it's worse than just regular TV. They have extra bad channels and things like that. So what he did, he said, as soon as I walked into the room, I would go to the bathroom, get a towel, drape a towel over the TV set, and then set my Bible on top of the towel as a way to hold it there. He said, that way, if I was tempted to turn the TV on, I had to go through the Word of God to get there. That's what he did. He was not making provision for the flesh. Okay, that is what he commands us to do. So we need to relate to one another with grace, not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but use our gifts of God to bless one another. The lost world, we need to return good for evil so they might see the goodness of Jesus Christ. The government, we need to respect and honor and do, even though we don't agree with them. I pay my taxes, even though I know part of that goes to Planned Parenthood. Okay, I used to give a donation through work to whatever it is, the Susan G. Komen breast cancer thing, because I thought, okay, you know, it's good to have a cure for breast cancer, until I found out they were giving money to Planned Parenthood. Then I quit. But see, that's my option. I don't have to give money to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. But the government has the power of the sword. I do have to give money to the government, okay? They command it, and I give it, and how they spend it is their responsibility, not mine. Okay? Tell you a story. There's a man way back in church history that you probably remember. His name is Justin Martyr. Everybody heard of Justin Martyr before? Okay. How do you get a last name like Martyr? Okay. His dad's last name wasn't Martyr. Okay. He earned that last name. Okay. He was Justin the Martyr. Okay. Tells you how his life ended. Okay. He was martyred. But he lived during, I believe, the 300s. And probably the worst Roman emperor ever. I'm forgetting. What?
Diocletian.
All I could think of was Dalmatian. Diocletian was probably the worst Roman emperor ever. Okay, he decided to exterminate Christianity. He was having every Bible he could get his hands on burned, along with every Christian he could get his hands on. Well, Justin, he wasn't Justin Martyr yet. Justin Martyr got called before him. And so he gave testimony before him. And he said, Caesar, he said, we Christians obey your laws. You don't have to waste time chasing us around. We're not robbing banks. We're not causing crime. We're not doing wrong things. We obey the laws of the land. But we cannot say, Caesar a curious, Caesar is Lord. And we won't call you Caesar Augustus either, because there is only one Lord. Only Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay. So he says, we're going to obey your laws everywhere we can, except where it conflicts with our commandments through Jesus Christ. So he said, we will not call Caesar Lord. Okay. And that's enough. He was martyred for that. And he was. That's where he got his name, Justin Martyr, because he would not bow to Caesar, even under the penalty of death. Okay, so he gave honor and respect to Caesar, didn't he? He was very respectful. He made a very respectful appeal. He honored his authority. He said, I will obey Roman law in every matter until it comes to denying Jesus Christ as the one and only Lord. And that's how. So that's what we're commanded to do. Put on Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we don't need to be living our fleshly lives. We need to be spending our lives, obey the government, pay what you owe, do your duties, but God is first and foremost in everything. That's our standard in all things. So that's where the line comes. So just remember, if you're going to be some sort of a conscientious objector to what the government's doing, remember, then you will feel the force of the government's judgment. So make sure it's something worth dying for. Kind of the saying that came out of Vietnam, is it a hill worth dying for? You know, because many of those guys, they fought and died for hills that may not have meant anything, but they did what they were ordered. Ours is to honor Jesus Christ as Lord and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what we'll stand for in all things. If we stand for that, then we can guard the government in all other things except where it conflicts with those two commandments. Okay.